Okay, welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Wednesday, June 21st, 2023. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me. And I've got a video interview with Steve Quayle coming up in just a few minutes here. Going to cover some things here in audio. I actually did three interviews in the studio today. And, two of them were with Steve Quayle. And the first one deals with, and the reason I'm running it right now, it's an emergency situation. It deals with nuclear war and the escalation into nuclear war, which I've been talking about. I hope you're not burned out on the topic, because this is the most important topic of our lives right now. I mean, if we don't figure out how to back off the lunatics in the State Department from world war, we all die. And that's not an exaggeration. I mean, Scott Ritter, the UN weapons inspector, he said humanity's last year on planet Earth will be 2023, and he challenges anyone to prove him wrong. Now, probably he hopes he's wrong, and I hope he's wrong. And who knows? I mean, maybe God will intervene, or some force will come along and stop the nukes from flying, but it's not looking good. And then Michael Snyder at End of the American Dream, his headline is as follows: as Russia prepares to use tactical nukes, millions of you don't even realize you are going to die in a third world war. And in that article, Snyder is quoting Putin. And Putin says, quote, the United States pretends not to be afraid of an escalation of the conflict in Ukraine, but sane people there clearly do not want to take this to a third world war. In the event of a third world war, there will be no winners, including America. All right, but that's just a taste of it. Here's what's next. Here's what Putin says. He says, we were forced to try to end the war that the West started in 2014. And Russia, he says, will end this war by force of arms, freeing the entire territory of the former Ukraine from the United States and Ukrainian Nazis. Again, this is Putin speaking. There are no other options, he says. Now, whether you agree or disagree with his point of view on this is not the point here. It's that Putin has command of the nuclear weapons, and this is what he's explaining. Quote, the Ukrainian army of the U.S. and NATO will be defeated, he says, no matter what new types of weapons it receives from the West. The more weapons there are, the fewer Ukrainians in what used to be Ukraine will remain, which actually, he seems correct about that, because the West keeps sending, you know, hardware and tanks and armored vehicles. But who's dying? It's the Ukrainian men who are dying in this war. It's like the West is just giving up steel, but Ukraine is giving up men. It's unthinkable. But Putin continues. He says, direct intervention by NATO's European armies will not change the outcome. But in this case, And here's the part you need to hear. He says, quote, the fire of war will engulf the whole of Europe. It looks like the U.S. is ready for that, too. All right, what does that mean? The fire of war will engulf the whole of Europe. He's saying, if there's direct intervention by NATO's European armies, then the fire of war will engulf the whole of Europe. What he means is if NATO sends in soldiers or perhaps missiles or perhaps F-16s into this conflict, he's saying Russia will nuke major targets across Western Europe and the United States. I mean, what do you think? The fire of war will engulf the whole of Europe. What does that bring to mind? Like mushroom clouds, right? Nuking military bases, nuking European cities, Berlin, Paris, London, Warsaw. I mean, this is not a good scenario. And then he says, looks like the U.S. is ready for that, too. So, you know, kaboom, New York City, mushroom cloud, right? Washington, D.C., mushroom cloud. This is what Putin is describing. And the thing is, Zelensky of Ukraine has ruled out peace talks. There shall be no talks of peace, not according to Zelensky, because he's the puppet of the West. The West doesn't want peace, even as we stand on the verge of global nuclear war. So if you look at my topic yesterday, in my article yesterday, it was 12 things that you can do to survive famine and tyranny and war, nuclear war. It's a very important and timely piece. It's worth reviewing if you haven't seen it. I've also posted an article about that on naturalnews.com. But you need to review that because we're on the precipice of global nuclear war. So in the interview coming up today with Steve Quayle, I lay out the following scenario. I say, suppose the West launches F-16s carrying tactical nuclear weapons from, let's say, a military base in Poland. Well, when those F-16s get close to Russian forces, Russia has already said it's going to nuke the military base from which those F-16s were launched. So those nukes would fly via hypersonic missiles, probably nuclear-armed Kinzhal missiles, which Western forces cannot stop because we don't have anti-air systems that bring down hypersonic missiles, by the way. That does not exist in terms of the technology of the military of the West. So as those hypersonic missiles strike military bases, one or more, let's say in Poland or elsewhere, and those bases go up in a giant mushroom cloud, well, other European countries are going to launch a retaliatory strike against Russia using their own nuclear weapons, whatever the UK has, or France, or Germany, or who knows? Who all has nukes? A lot of countries do. And maybe even Israel tries to jump in with it too. Who knows? So then here comes a volley of nuclear weapons, kind of old school ICBMs that are on very, very predictable trajectories, by the way, because that's what the West has. And those start coming in towards Russia. Well, what does Russia do at that point? What does Putin do? He says, launch everything. Launch everything you have. The Iskander missiles, the Yars, the Sarmats, the Kinzhals, the freaking the Topol M's. I mean, everything. Just launch freaking everything at the West. And then, you know, you have about 17 minutes to live, basically, or however long it takes these ICBMs to make it all the way to the United States and start detonating over U.S. cities. I don't know. What is the flight time? Is it like 20 minutes or less? I don't know. Because they go into outer space, of course, and they're moving quite rapidly. So you don't have long to live at that point. That's why Michael Snyder, in his article, says millions of you will die. You don't even realize you're going to die in a third world war. And that's true. The people who, you know, the oblivious masses that we talk about all the time, they have no clue that any of this is happening because they're dumb enough to keep watching CNN and they think Ukraine is winning and Russia's losing and they believe the State Department propaganda. They have no idea that this is about to happen. They won't know basically until there's a mushroom cloud on the horizon and some of them will just be vaporized in that cloud because it'll hit, you know, where they are. I mean, there goes LA. Kaboom. Oh, there goes Chicago. Kaboom. There goes New York City. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm trying to warn you about a very realistic scenario. What cities do you think Russia is targeting right now? It's all those cities I named and many more. And of course, every military base in America, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson that we've talked about recently. And, you know, Fort Hood in Texas, where the tank commanders get trained and the naval bases on the East Coast and so on. I mean, every military base, including probably Honolulu, gets nuked in this scenario because our country is being run by cheating, lying, lunatic psychopaths who rigged the election because they crave power. And with this power, they so desperately want to destroy Russia, they want to commit genocide, ethnic cleansing against the Russian people, that they are willing to sacrifice the entire Western world and to cause hundreds of millions of deaths, which is exactly how this will end up. You wonder how the Deagle Report predicted that America would have fewer than 100 million people still living by, what, 2025? Well, here's your scenario. And for people out there who are arguing and saying, oh, there's no way it's going to go to nuclear war. Okay, great. Give me a rational explanation of the mechanism by which Western countries back down and don't launch nukes. Like, walk me through that. How does that work in your mind? Because at some point you would have to negotiate with Russia, right? You'd have to have a peace negotiation. Well, Western nations refuse to do that. In fact, it was Boris Johnson from the UK that over a year ago flew over and threatened Zelensky and said, don't you dare negotiate peace with Russia, because the UK needed the war, just as the US does. You know, it's a cover story for all the shenanigans they're planning, the fiat currency rug pull and the totalitarianism, martial law, rigged elections, and so much more, right? So they need the war. So again, walk me through this imaginary scenario in your mind where the US and NATO countries back down from nuclear war. Like, what's the exit plan, the off-ramp for NATO to leave Ukraine and for Zelensky to back down and not keep amping this up into nuclear conflict? What does that exit strategy look like? Because no one has one who's in a position of power. There's no exit strategy in the State Department, in the White House, in Parliament in the UK, the leaders of Germany. Nobody has an exit strategy. It's just go, 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 more weapons, more nukes, more this, more soldiers, more war. That's it. That's all they have. And we know how that ends. It ends in global nuclear war. And need I remind you, I probably don't need to remind you because you're well informed, of the Poseidon nukes, the underwater nuclear drones that have already been parked off the edge of the continental shelf of the east coast of the United States and the west coast, and they can be detonated remotely from Moscow, and they can unleash a radioactive tidal wave of seawater that destroys, you know, cities along the coastline and dumps radioactive water on all the farmland inland for many, many miles and just wrecks the ports and wrecks Washington, D.C. and New York and all of it. At least New York City, anyway, Manhattan Island. That exists. That's real. That's one button away. One button away. And yet, somehow, lunatics like Victoria Nuland and Anthony Blinken and Joe Dementia Biden think that they can just bully their way to getting Putin to back down, and it's not working. And, you know, the West thought that they could just send in these, you know, modern tanks. Here, have some Leopard 2s, you know, here, have some artillery, here, have some Bradley vehicles with night vision. No, it has night vision. Just send them in. We'll overwhelm the Russians and their defensive lines in the Donbass. And so the Western nations and Ukraine, they just send them in and they all get blown up in mines, minefields. Turns out your night vision didn't really help you much because night vision doesn't neutralize mines for whatever reason, huh? Imagine. So they're turning southern Ukraine or southeastern Ukraine into a giant museum of wrecked, burned out husks of NATO military machines. I mean, somebody's going to make a fortune just selling all the scrap metal from all that one day. Think about how much metal goes into a set of tank tracks, for example. Melt that down, you got a salvage operation going. But right now, it's just a no-go zone with mines all over the place. And Ukraine's not making any headway. They haven't penetrated Russia's defenses there. I mean, what is the plan to end this war? There is no plan to end the war. There's only a plan to escalate into nuclear war. And the nukes, by the way, the nukes won't target Ukraine. Russia won't nuke Ukraine. This is key to understand. Those of you listening from Kiev or other cities, you are not going to get nuked. We are in the United States, and any of you in the UK, you're going to get nuked. Because we are the supply centers supplying the tanks and the weapons and the artillery and the munitions and the F-16s and everything. It's the supply chain that Putin's going to nuke, because he can plunge America into total economic and manufacturing chaos in 30 minutes. And that's it. No more weapons for Ukraine if the United States is suffering under a radiation cloud, because it's over. Then it's over for the whole country. So, folks, this is not an exercise in just theory or scaremongering or doom and gloom. This is where we are in history. This is like the Cuban Missile Crisis, but way worse. We're right on the edge of global nuclear war, And most people have no idea that it's happening. And as Michael Snyder says, millions will die once this is unleashed because they have no clue what's happening. And by the way, you know that in the aftermath of this, there's going to be a lot of background radiation, right? And you probably know how to deal with background radiation in some ways, right? You know about iodine. You might know about how the Japanese ate a lot of miso soup, you know, and certain types of seaweed. And they had, you know, various detox mechanisms. But you know that background radiation, which is ionizing radiation, causes chromosomal damage at a certain level. Well, you know your body repairs a certain amount of chromosomal damage, right? We've talked about this before, the NHEJ mechanism in your cells. It's actually kind of like a checksum system. It runs up and down your chromosomes and finds breaks, which are called DSBs, double-strand breaks. That's where you have chromosomes that have been severed. And your body repairs those. It actually kind of glues them back together. It's not glue, obviously, but that's a crude metaphor. Puts them back together. Your body can repair itself in amazing ways. But you know that the spike protein, yes, remember the spike protein disables this chromosomal repair mechanism by up to 90%. And that's been published in studies that we've covered on naturalnews.com. So people who took the vaccine, who have spike protein circulating in their bodies still, especially those who kept taking booster shots, walking, you know, spike protein biofactories, what do you think happens to them when there's background radiation? Oh, they die. Yeah, no joke. No exaggeration either. They die as their chromosomes all fall apart. What happens when your chromosomes fall? Oh, you can't make new cells. Because you're supposed to be making new cells all the time, you know. Red blood cells, for example. Skin cells, right? All kinds of cells. Organ cells. Liver cells. You can't make new cells because the DNA is all trashed because of the ionizing radiation and the spike protein. So what happens? Your body turns to like gelatin on the inside. You just don't have any functioning cells anymore, piece by piece. And you just like, bleh, just melt like a, I don't know, like a ocean blob creature or something. I mean, it's horrifying. Well, that's what you're going to get with a combination of background radiation from nuclear detonations plus spike protein. How many people do you know who took the vaccine and still think they're fine for some reason? Guess what? They're not. They're already dead. That is, if they have certain levels of spike protein circulating in their body. Now, thankfully, if you stopped taking the vaccine, if you only took one or two shots, and then you took proper precautions to detox and things like that, you're probably not making spike protein any longer. So that's the good news. But there are plenty of people out there who think it's their, you know, American duty or something. Maybe it's a satanic duty to keep taking more jabs and make more spike protein. Guess what? They're dead. They're going to die when the nukes fly. Whereas you being someone who is knowledgeable, someone who understands the basics of nutrition, it's not about immune function to repair chromosomal damage, but it is about healthy stamina and not having extreme exposure all at once. So if you can spread out radiation exposure over time, your body can actually handle a lot more total radiation. Now, everybody who's a scientist or a doctor knows this. And if they don't know it, I don't know, they're just morons or something. But it's the intensity of radiation exposure. In other words, how much radiation and how small of a slice of time that actually determines the toxicity. Like, you can't walk through Chernobyl. There's a lot of radiation all at once, but if you take that Chernobyl radiation in terms of, you know, millirems or however you want to measure it, lots of different units, and if you spread that out over a whole calendar year, you can handle that. You can. I'm not advising you to do so, but you can handle. This is why pilots that fly commercial aircraft, they're exposed to radiation every time they fly. Why aren't they just all dying? I mean, except for the ones who were vaccinated. And the answer is, well, it's not all the radiation all at once. It's spread out over the hours of the flight. And then they have rest time between flights. And that's when pilots are repairing their DNA as they're sleeping between the flights. They may not even know it, but that's when their DNA is being repaired from the ionizing radiation of piloting the plane and being at higher altitude where there's more ionizing radiation that actually reaches them, by the way. You get more radiation at, 39,000 feet compared to sea level. That's true. It's a scientific fact. So my point here is, isn't it interesting that the depopulation globalists wanted to make sure that billions of people took the spike protein jabs right before they start nuclear war? Because they know they can't actually nuke everybody. Like, not everybody's going to be in the blast radius of the nuke. But radiation's going to get everybody. So what if they can make people really vulnerable to radiation? Oh, spike protein. Plus, they could cause infertility, spontaneous abortions, myocarditis, heart attack, strokes, boom, everything. And neurological dysfunction, dumbing people down with brain damage. Plus, making sure their chromosomes melt away when the radiation kicks up in terms of background radiation. So here we are. Talk about a binary weapon system. Again, they don't need you to be at ground zero when the nukes hit. They just need you to be compromised, genetically compromised, you see. So the future of the human race belongs to those who can maintain genetic integrity and who can pass along that genetic integrity to future generations through sexual reproduction. Sexual reproduction requires genetic integrity, not only in the ovaries, but of course in the sperm. Now, sperm are produced every day, unlike ovaries, which are actually produced when the young female is actually developing in the body of her mother before she's born. That's when the ovaries are actually being produced. So that's not an easy target for genetic alterations, but sperm production is an easy target. If you can convince men to line up and get injected with spike protein jabs, mRNA, then sperm production has a problem. And now you don't have genetic integrity in the sperm. Now, even if that man can impregnate a woman, which is less and less likely these days, sperm counts are down, sperm motility is down, and sperm genetic integrity is also down. This is why you have more spontaneous abortions. This is why you have more birth defects. But more and more, that child, even if the child is born and even survives the abortion industry, then that child will not be viable for reproduction. This is all by design. Thank Bill Gates and the depopulation pushers for all these nefarious plans, but this is what's going down. And harming the integrity of a man's genetic code in his sperm is a short-term affair. You can do it now. You can blast the man with 5G. You can blast the man with radiation. You can subject the man to chemicals that cause genetic alterations and mutations. Carcinogenic type of chemicals or mutagenic chemicals in particular, which are all found in the food supply. So even beyond nuclear war, even beyond 5G, even beyond the spike protein, we're talking about a global attack on the genetic integrity of the male as well as the female. Oh, and that's assuming that the children don't have their genitals, ripped apart by the mutilating doctors pushing transgenderism too, by the way. So there's another obstacle that you have to overcome. The bottom line is there's almost no future for the human race. Among those, I don't mean everybody, but I mean among those who keep using all the chemicals and eating all the pesticides and taking all the jabs and then get exposed to, boom, nuclear war detonations and increasing background radiation. Those people will not survive, period. End of story, end of the line, end of the genealogy. It's done. They're done. They have no future. The future belongs to those who can protect their genetic integrity and who can reproduce. All right, so that's not leftists. That's not libtards. That's not transgenders, by the way. No, it's not people steeped in chemicals. It's not people who keep taking multiple jabs. It's not people who find themselves at ground zero when the nukes fly, sitting in the middle of New York City. All those examples, those people are dead. And they're gone from the future of planet Earth in terms of human civilization. The only people that will play a role in the future of our planet are people most likely like you, people who survive, people who have health, who maintain genetic integrity, who have viability, who have functioning sperm, functioning ovaries, can raise healthy children and not mutilate them, by the way, and can teach them important skills of self-reliance, of food, and hands-on practical skills, rural living, farming. And this is not achieved through public schools, which are really government schools. This is achieved through home schools, which are local schools, by the way. Local schooling. And that's how we have a future. And the number of people on planet Earth today who can fulfill that role for the future of humanity is a fraction of the current population. It might be fewer than 1 billion people. Think about it. There are probably fewer than 1 billion people currently living on planet Earth who have any genetic future on this planet. You understand? And that's by design. Because globalists will either, they'll probably kill 1 to 2 billion outright through the vaccines or other means. They will cause wars. They will cause radiation. They will push infertility, abortions, quote, women's reproductive health, which is what Bill Gates calls it, more pesticides, more herbicides, more chemtrails, more famine, starvation, war, chaos, civil unrest, financial collapse, destitution, suicides, mental health, on and on and on. If we have 1 billion people left after all of that, consider that a victory, because 1 billion is more than you actually need to repopulate the planet, by the way. That's why the globalists are trying to kill more than just 7 billion people. They want to kill 7.5 billion or something. I don't think they'll succeed, see? That makes me an optimist, in case you're wondering. Yeah, my outlook is actually optimistic. The globalists will fail in their attempts to exterminate the human race, and they will fail because of people like you. And they will fail because of the kind of knowledge that I'm passing along right here, which is why they've desperately tried to censor me all these years. And they have succeeded to some large degree, but they have failed to censor me 100%, obviously because I'm reaching you. Yeah, they've censored me 99%. They really have. My audience would be at least 100 times bigger if not for the censorship. That's how they try to keep me under control, put me in a box, you know, silence the voice, because they can't have too many surviving human beings. Oh, that would go against their nefarious plans. They have to achieve mass extermination, so people have to be kept oblivious, so that, as Michael Snyder says, quote, millions of you don't even realize you're going to die in a third world war. Again, he's exactly correct. And so what I just laid out for you here is how that's going down. Exactly what's happening right now. And there are people who totally get it. And I've interviewed a lot of them, like Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch. And I interviewed Steve Quayle again. That's coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And I interview people all the time who totally get it. And you probably totally get it. But there are a lot of people who are afraid to talk about these subjects. Oh, sounds extreme to talk about death. What do you think the globalists have planned for you? It's death. If you don't realize what's happening, if you're not willing to talk about how to not die, then you probably will die. If you don't understand that this is an attack on human reproduction, that is genetic integrity across multiple generations of human beings on this planet, if you don't understand that's the war, then you have no future. Your genetic line has no future. Your ancestry ends now. Your family tree becomes a stump. It's done. And that's the vast majority of people who are living today. They're the last of their kind. That's it. And now we know the mechanisms by which the globalists will achieve these horrific outcomes. We've talked about them here, nuclear war, vaccines, depopulation, bioweapons, economic collapse, the whole deal, chemical saturation, mass pollution, starvation, famine, it's all here. And sometimes people say, well, you talk like that, Mike, and some people won't listen to you. Oh, you mean dead people won't listen to me? Why does that? That doesn't change the equation. They're dead anyway. I'm only speaking to those who wish to live. That's it. That's my audience. People who want to not die. People who want to be here. People who want to make it. That's you. It's a lot of people, but it's not most people. I'm not speaking to most people. I don't talk to ghosts. I don't see dead people. And I don't produce podcasts for dead people or suicidal people. They want to take themselves out. That's their business. They've already made that decision in many cases. They're already done. Cause and effect are kicking in. It's already happened in a sense. But for those who wish to live, then this is a resource that can help you do that. And as long as there are enough of us who make it, then we can rebuild human society. And I've said this over and over again. It's a privilege to be among the survivors who get to choose the future direction of human civilization after we defeat the globalist evil satanic demons who tried to destroy the world but only ended up killing a few billion instead of all of us. You see, that's the history that's going to be written in the years to come. You can count on it. I'm laying it out for you right now. I'm writing tomorrow's history books today and just honestly, bluntly telling you how this is going to play out. Billions will die. Maybe billions will survive, but they won't kill us all. And it is an honor and a privilege to be here right now and to know that this is how it happens and to be among the survivors and to spread that message of resilience and healthy reproduction, the message that is pro-family in the most divine sense that you can imagine. Pro-family because it is families that create sustainability of human civilization. And future historians will look back on this era of 2023 with the crazy blue-haired, nose-ringed, libtard demon creatures mutilating their children, and the historians will say, "What on earth was that? That society, no wonder they destroyed themselves. Look at the crazy lunatics." Yes, you see it now. I see it now. But those who cannot see it will be destroyed by it. They will be consumed by it. And they have no future. Think about it. It's all common sense. It's right in front of you if you're willing to see. It's just that it's so much more convenient for the masses to remain blind. It's very convenient to fit in, to conform, and to not say the obvious truth. The emperor has no clothes, or, you know, a man cannot become a woman. Children don't need their genitals chopped off, for God's sake, right? And we shouldn't launch nuclear war. So with that said, then, I know this is an intense topic, but it's about to get even more intense because I'm going to bring in Steve Quayle now. That's today's interview is with Steve Quayle. It's actually part one of a two-part interview. I'll do second part, probably not tomorrow, but a couple days later. I've also got an interview with Michael Yon that I've got to run for you here this week. Another interview with SWAT team member and naturopathic Dr. Mark Sherwood that I just filmed. And some other interviews as well. So there's a lot I've got for you here. And I'm filming a new show later this week about decentralization and how to achieve decentralization in your life. And I'll be bringing you that new show next week. It's going to be truly fascinating, bombshell information, practical information about how to not be consumed by tyranny, how to find freedom in an unfree world, and how to make your life more local and more under your own control rather than the control grid, the matrix, the domineering authoritarian systems that have been erected in order to enslave your body and your mind. So watch for that new show. It's going to be really exciting to be able to get that out for you. All right, with that said, let's jump into the interview with Steve Quayle, which is about, I think, 40 to 45 minutes, something in that range. And that'll wrap up today's episode. I'll talk to you again tomorrow with more analysis then. Until then, be safe, stay prepared, stay vigilant, stay informed. Watch this situation with Russia and Ukraine very carefully because this thing could pop off at any time. So be ready. All right, here we go with Steve Quayle. Take care. Want to mention we've partnered with Global Tech MD to launch a new telemedicine service with Natural News and Brighteon. And if you go to naturalnews.com/telehealth, it will take you to this page where you can read all about it. Introducing Global Tech MD telehealth service for your entire family. And what's amazing about this is it allows you 24-hour access to reach a licensed physician who can write prescriptions. Now, you know that I'm not big into big pharma or prescription medication, but there are times, as we found out during COVID, when, guess what? Certain pharmaceuticals, usually the ones that are off patent, the ones that are being attacked by the mainstream media or attacked by hospitals, or not even, they don't even want you to have access to them, such as prescription ivermectin. There are certain times where certain prescriptions actually can be beneficial. For example, antibiotics. I think antibiotics should be part of every prepper's supply. You should have some on hand, in my opinion. You know, where medically necessary. Well, through this service with Global Tech MD, and by the way, you can save $20 off your first month using promo code NN. Forgot to mention that. And it's only $29.95 a month. Covers your whole family, up to seven people in your household. Gives you access to doctors. You can first speak with a licensed nurse. You can get a call back from a U.S. board-certified doctor as well. And they can prescribe medications where medically appropriate. They can prescribe lab tests and so on. But you can ask them, again, it's less than 10 bucks for the first month. But you can get help on lots of issues. You have a sore throat. Do you have a non-critical injury that you have questions about that maybe it's not appropriate to go to the ER? Do you have a stomach ache? You have food poisoning? You have a skin condition? You have other non-emergency concerns? You can call and you can reach a physician to get answers to your questions or get some guidance. Now, this is not a replacement for health insurance. It's not an insurance policy. And it's not a replacement for a visit to the ER if you've broken a bone or something like that, obviously. Also, it's not naturopathy. So they're probably not going to ask you to use essential oils or things like that. This is Western medicine, which has its place in first aid. If you have questions, if you need access to medically necessary prescriptions and so on, this serves a role. And so you can get it all for $29.95 a month. And there's also benefits for dental, chiropractic, eye care, imaging, and laboratory services on top of that. And it's available starting right now. Just go to naturalnews.com/telehealth, and you'll have then 24/7 access to this service. You can cancel at any time if it's not working the way you want it to. And you'll be helping to support us and this platform as we give you all kinds of additional information on nutrition and naturopathy and prevention so that you don't have as many medical issues coming up. But sometimes when you need a doctor or you need a prescription, there's a channel through which that needs to be done, and this is that channel for you. Made affordable telemedicine right from your home. You can reach these doctors through your phone or your computer, a phone call, or sometimes they can connect with you through something like Zoom, and you don't have to go into a clinic every single time and dish out an expensive copay. So this is a new alternative for those of you who find value in this service. So thank you for your support. Check it out again, naturalnews.com/telehealth. Save $20 off your first month with promo code NN. And yes, I'm signing up for this too, because I've suffered a couple of injuries over the last couple of months. It might have been good to be able to talk to a doctor. I didn't. I just did my own thing, but maybe it would have been good to ask a couple of questions just to be certain about things, but that's okay. I'm healing up just fine. But you know what would be cool, though? I hope they launch a veterinary type of service like this, because, you know, my dog got bit by that poisonous snake recently. And, I treated my dog with oregano oil and chlorine dioxide in her water, and she's fine. All the swelling went down in less than a day. But wouldn't it be cool to have a service like this to ask pet health questions? Yeah, let's see if they can come out with something like that. But thank you for your support. Enjoy this service. Use it. If it's right for you, check it out again, naturalnews.com/telehealth. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support. As we are on the verge of World War III, we are joined today by Steve Quayle here on Brighteon.com for an exclusive interview about the escalation to nuclear war. Welcome, Steve. You need no introduction. I'll plug your website here, by the way. Where is it? SteveQuayle.com. People want to see it. But Steve, welcome to the show. I know you have a lot of concerns to share, a lot of new intel. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I think we'd better begin that to get everyone's attention. This is World War III taking place before our eyes. The strategic placement of NATO and Western and U.S. assets into Western Europe is unparalleled. The threats and counter threats going on behind the scenes that I'm being made aware of by people that are very, very concerned, Mike, and rightfully so. I think people have got to recognize that this is all the globalist master plan to destroy 9/10 of the world's population. It's no longer a fantasy or a fear porn or, you know, whatever they accuse anybody who's ever told the truth about real history. This is playing out before our eyes. And President Putin basically told NATO what to go do with themselves. And the point being is that we now have the most incendiary series of events taking place. And President Putin is very concise in what he says, unlike the U.S. foreign policy. We get into China, Taiwan, and later. But I think what everybody needs to understand is that World War One and World War Two, especially World War One, started in June with the assassination, actually June 28th, I think it was, 1914, of Archduke Ferdinand. So we're in the time where war is in the air. War is absolutely being prepared before our eyes. And Russia has been preparing for this day since we started abrogating our treaty. They're in a full wartime economy, contrary to the United States with the entire bioweaponized attack of the COVID-19 bioweapon and the tearing down of our country's infrastructure, both financially, agriculturally, and morally, obviously. We're now in a, how should I say this, a period where the slightest miscalculation will absolutely change the face of history, and it'll change the face, the literal face, of the United States of America. The United States has been posturing, just let me finish the statement, as if everything that's going on in the war is going to stay in Western and Eastern Europe. It isn't. It's coming here to our shore.
You make a really critical point, and you're exactly right when you say one miscalculation can set this whole thing off. And yet we have a State Department with people like Victoria Nuland in it and Antony Blinken. It should probably be called the U.S. State Department of Miscalculation, because that's all they do, is they miscalculate all the time. But specifically, over the last week, Putin has said that if the United States or NATO countries launch F-16s to conduct combat operations against Russia, if those F-16s are launched from NATO military bases, even outside of Ukraine, such as Poland, for example, then those bases become legitimate targets for Russia to nuke. Okay, so we're, and then also beyond that, he said then more recently, obviously this is a paraphrase because he said it in Russian, but if the U.S. supplies the weapons, such as the HIMARS rockets that Ukraine uses to attack Crimea, then the United States is in fact involved in the war, and it makes U.S. military bases legitimate targets in the eyes of Vladimir Putin. So, Steve, aren't we looking at, I mean, these are the triggers. We now know exactly what they are, and nobody's backing down.
Nobody's backing down, and even the back channel. We used to see the Cold War, even movies, that there was a red line, a hot line between Moscow and the United States. The United States, I'm told, killed our hotline to Moscow. So in essence, the Russians know that they cannot negotiate with crazy people. And that's pretty much a true statement. But what we're dealing with, Mike, and this is what's critical for people to understand, is that we are watching the intentional provocation of a superior nuclear power, Russia, by an inferior nuclear power at this point, the United States of America. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is not propaganda. That's just true. And when you're dealing with the hypersonic nuclear weapons and also the hyperbaric weapons, a hyperbaric weapon is a fuel air explosive, and they can get equal yield out of a thermobaric bomb as to the equivalent blast, if you will, of a nuclear weapon without the fallout. But what I'm concerned about is a major destruction of the nuclear power plants in the Ukraine area, and then they're going to blame it on the Russians. And look, we've seen, you mentioned Victoria Nuland and Blinken, we have seen time and time again threats made by our State Department, i.e. the Nord Stream pipeline. And now, I mean, people better understand something. We are at war with Russia, and they are at war with not only the United States and the West, but the targeting is critical. The F-16s that you're talking about that Denmark is going to supply, they need a retrofit and an upgrade. Not every F-16 can carry nuclear armaments, but the ones that President Putin is talking about, they have no way of knowing where the F-16s that are being, how should I say this, articulated or updated, better word, updated to be able to handle nuclear weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going nuclear. That's no longer BS. We've heard from the Biden administration all through this escalating tension period that, oh, the Russians will never use nukes, never use nukes. As we're recording this today on the front right-hand corner of Drudge, Biden now says Russia prepared to use nukes. What changed that, Mike?
Okay, yeah, I just brought up that article, Jerusalem Post. Biden says Russian threat of Putin using nuclear weapons is real. Of course, what does Biden know? I mean, his presidency isn't even real. But yeah. Here's another story from the National Pulse. German ammo now below NATO required levels. So Germany's running out of ammo. We know that the United States is running out of ammo. Ukraine's out of ammo. And the ability for Western nations to manufacture ammo is severely impaired. It would be years to even build the infrastructure to start building more ammo.
Well, that's due to America's idiotic foreign policy and all of our sanctions. What we did was sanction ourselves. You know, sanction in the world of clandestine services means you're murdering somebody. Well, you know, the sanctions that we have put on Russia, Russia is self-sufficient. Russia has the ability and the raw materials. It's just like everybody in America wants to go, you know, electric cars, but they don't understand without China and without China's export of the different strategic minerals and metals, you know, we can't build those. So here's the thing. When people think of warfare, what has happened in Ukraine, no matter what NATO and the United States intentions were, we have burned through all of the weapon systems, conventional weapons, that pretty much are in play. And again, as someone who knows people in the world people in the world who are out there selling weapons on the international weapons bazaar, I don't know the actual dealers. I know people who are watching the deals. Mike, everything that we have given to Ukraine that hasn't been used in the way of artillery shells, man pads, law rocket launchers, AT-4s, it's all ending up on the black market, along with all the weapons that were abandoned in Afghanistan. And people need to understand.
Right.
Yeah, people need to understand that was almost $100 billion worth. So in essence, we're naked, and now we're rattling our sabers against China. And then Blinken goes with his tail between his legs, and China mocks him and kicks him out of the country and won't even talk to him. and this is phenomenal. We've lost Japan as an ally. That's what my sources are telling me behind the scenes.
Well, the U.S. has become an embarrassment under this regime and this State Department. The United States State Department at the top, and I don't mean to impugn every single person who works there. There are good people in every organization. But at the top, let's face it, it's virtue signaling, moron, libtard lunatics who don't know anything about economics, geopolitics, history, war, anything. I mean, they are absolutely clueless about everything. And they are marching us into, I mean, you know how Joe Biden likes to bully people and likes to act tough and do his John Wayne act. Oh, like I was kicking Corn Pop's butt. You know, no, you weren't. This is what America is doing as a nation. And Russia is done with that. Russia's done negotiating with America. Russia is laying out the cause effect, what's going to happen. If you launch missiles at us in Crimea, Russia's going to nuke NATO military bases. If you launch F-16s with nuclear weapons, Russia's going to nuke American military bases and maybe American cities. I mean, we're at the moment where it is now, it's an if-then statement. If you do this, then that happens. We know what happens.
They're not posturing. They're telling plain and simple. Look, I've posted, and you and I have talked about it, the different targets. Russia's made it clear their targets. The cities, the continuity of government bases. And I want everybody to understand something. The civil defense of Russia is unparalleled. The United States doesn't have any civil defense. And when you're dealing with nuclear war policy, civil defense is a big deal. Mutual assured destruction is gone. And so now what we have is we have belligerents in our Western sphere rattling a saber that they can't back up. Russia can get their nukes. And listen, this is real stuff. This isn't make-believe, and this isn't propaganda, but we, the average Americans, don't understand how fast 90 seconds can take place. So in essence, the hypersonic missiles have been the game changers, and our own traitors and treachery, treason, and I would say this, just outright sellouts to our enemies have absolutely given our enemies, in this case, the advances in their weapons system. It's pretty sad when North Korea has, and I mean this, North Korea has hypersonic missiles. It's pretty sad when the United States still doesn't have them. And Mike, it's like everybody can't grasp the fact that Russia is ready to move, and they tried the bargaining table. You can't bargain with insanity.
And that's the thing. You can't negotiate with virtue signaling lunatics because they're not rooted in reality. Now, but let me ask you a more practical question, Steve. And I'd like you to imagine what happens domestically in America the moment the first nuke goes off in Europe, where a NATO military base is nuked. I don't even mean a nuclear artillery round in Ukraine. I'm talking about where Putin launches, let's say, a hypersonic Kinzhal missile with a nuclear payload. And I don't know how many kilotons is on that, but I think it's less than a megaton for that particular missile.
Actually, it's not.
It really?
Some of they're 5 MTs, 5 megatons.
That can be carried on the Kinzhal?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And remember, and Mike, here's where we got to make the biggest difference in thinking to get people to provoke them to think. At no point did Russia only say tactical nuclear missiles, except in the relationship to Belarus, okay?
Right.
They're talking about intercontinental ballistic missiles. Again, the continuity of government bases were never designed to maintain 25 megaton multiple hits, especially with bunker busters. Now, here is where the insanity lies. There are intermittent reports of this group of peoples in this bunker, that bunker, Denver International Airport, the continuity of government. And for most people's information, when Washington is wiped out, the provisional capital of the United States, what's left of it, is Denver. But the Russians have made it clear, look, you don't possess the weapon systems or the throw weight. In other words, the megaton weapons. That's why the 100 megaton Poseidon nuclear torpedoes are real. And in essence, you know, it can't get any plainer. So what I'm saying is we got to take it out of the tactical realm and put it into the strategic realm. And we're talking ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. Russia possesses that capability with multiple independent targeted reentry vehicles, multiple warheads that are steerable. And look, when you tell the truth nowadays, well, how dare you? No, we dare to tell the truth because lives are at stake, and it is going to impact, and it means the death of potentially hundreds of millions of Americans. And that's where the Deagle report comes in, because again, ladies and gentlemen, all this is being manipulated by the globalists, provoked by the globalists to bring about their ultimate desire, and that's the extinction of 90% of human beings.
All right,
Mike,
so let me...
Go ahead.
No, Steve, let me bring up this graphic because it perfectly illustrates what you were just talking about. So here are Russia's nuclear missiles, or not all of them are nuclear, but you see here the Iskander right here, 500-kilometer range, which launching from Kaliningrad can reach, you know, all these areas. Then you have the Topol M, 11,000 kilometer range. Basically, it can reach everywhere on the planet other than maybe the southern half of South America. And then you've got, of course, here the big boy, the Sarmat, and the Sarmat 2, which is also already being deployed, and plus these other missiles. Oh, and the yards. Don't forget the 24 yards here, which is called the SS-27, I think, in NATO. This also has 11,000 kilometer range. So, Steve, what you're saying is absolutely true. Russia can hit every target in every Western city, every Western military base, anywhere in the world, Europe, United States, freaking North Pole, you name it, everywhere.
Well, everywhere, and that's their policy. They are on record. Listen, there's nothing. The only ones that are duplicitous in this whole equation are the lying mouthpieces for what America's capabilities are. We cannot intercept hypersonic missiles. Any talk of that, the Patriot success, that's all bogus. So with the missile diagrams that you just put up and the ability to strike any place, here's what Russia's already said. Look, if we get threatened with an existential threat to be wiped out, we're going to play our dead hand. That's where they will fire all their missiles concurrently and simultaneously at all their pre-chosen targets. And Mike, I don't believe because of Bible prophecy that's going to happen, but I believe, and this is where most people go, in my opinion, wrong on the end times and the lateness of the hour, is they think that somehow America's got to even exist for the Antichrist system to rise. You're watching the Antichrist system rise here, but again, we're watching in America the provocation, in my opinion, of hundreds of millions of American lives at risk. And you said, what's going to happen? Let me take you back to your question. What's going to happen the minute a nuclear weapon goes off? Let's say if it stays contained, a tactical nuclear weapon in Belarus, Ukraine, whatever. Most people will just yawn. They will.
Really?
Yeah, they will. I mean, I'm telling you, they'll just say, oh, it's over there, you know? And I'm sorry to sound so sarcastic. I can't even bring enough sarcasm together. But what does make a difference when one happens here? The question is, will the first nuke that goes off in America be a false flag? Will it be? And I want people to understand this. We are watching insanity on a level that cannot even be put into the context of normal war theory, in my opinion. And what that simply means is, what nation in its wisdom would piss off, sorry for the word, but it's true, piss off every single ally it had prior to initiating that war, and then turn on our allies and basically send mixed signals? When Taiwan, you remember the story that they were talking, U.S. talking about taking out of Taiwan 80,000 American citizens?
Yeah.
Evacuation, that's the word I want. And that sent a signal to Japan. And ladies and gentlemen, most people have no idea of the sophistication of Japan's defense industry. It's incredibly sophisticated.
Okay.
And so just let me give you this real quick. The Taiwanese, their ability to produce the most sophisticated integrated circuits in the world are necessary for Russia, the United States, and everybody. But it was even insanely announced that the United States would bomb Taiwan's chip factory to keep it out of the hands of the Russians. Did you see that?
That's been discussed for several months, and that's crazy. Yeah.
So it's crazy. So you know, how do you know that you've got a death sentence when you agree with the United States? Now, listen, I love the country that was. We no longer are the country we were. This is not the land of the home, the free, and the brave anymore. This is an absolute nation bent on the self-destruction, at war with its people, and trying to provoke the rest of the world to basically rejoice when America disappears. And Mike, this is really critical. You and I spoke on your show, I mean, a year ago about Operation Sandman. You know, people abandoning the U.S. dollar. Then in those days, it was just the BRICS nation and the potential for three more. Now, as of last week, we're up to 120 nations that are repudiating the U.S. dollar. Yeah. And all of the income that's coming in by the Treasury bills, new offerings, and whoever's buying them is just going to pay interest. We are in no position to fight a war financially. Getting back to Russia's ability, Russia has portable launch capability of their intercontinental ballistic missiles. You've seen them. They can launch ICBMs. They have reloadable silos. The U.S. has one-time use. And to my knowledge, and I stand corrected, but people that I know in the Defense Department said, Steve, we don't launch out of our silos. We take the missiles out and we launch from Vandenberg or a different base, because once we launch a missile out of the U.S. silos, that silo's toast. In other words, fire once and it's done. Whereas everything Russia does is redundant. Now, I believe, Mike, and this is what probably is going to be most people cannot embrace. I believe because of our nation's perversity, our nation's mutilation of our young people, the absolute gender dysphoria, the absolute attack on everything of humanity that's good and wonderful and beautiful. I believe Russia is literally raised up to be God's instrument of judgment. And people who don't know their history, biblical history and secular history, don't understand that, because they think somehow that we have the moral high ground. We flow in the sewers of moral debauchery compared to even Caligula, you know? But there's hardly a yawn, hardly a whimper. That's why I think the very first thing, the thing that's going to tee off most Americans, is when everything they've taken for granted is no longer available. For instance, ladies and gentlemen, the minute, and we got to get to this at some point, Mike, the minute that martial law is declared, you're going to be given food rations based on calorie count, not a pound of butter, a dozen eggs. Calorie count. You're going to be given fuel in liter measurements, and that's if there's anything left. I maintain when this thing happens, the war will be fought and won literally within the first hour or less.
See, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to bring up the same point. The chain reaction that gets initiated is rapid. So, I mean, think about this. F-16s carrying nuclear weapons take off from Warsaw, let's say. They fly east into Ukraine. They engage with Russia to try to provide air cover for Ukraine's forces, which have lacked air cover and thus have been largely decimated by Russian helicopters, for example. Russia sees these incoming F-16s. What do? They nuke the base in Warsaw, let's say, or right outside of Warsaw, where this it was launched. And that would be a hypersonic missile nuke, all right? No defense against it. That nuke detonates. What do other Western nations in Europe do? They launch nukes at Russia, like within 2 minutes, right? They launch nukes at Russia. Russia sees the incoming nukes. What does Russia do? They launch everything. And
that's accurate.
Yeah. They launch everything at the West.
Yes.
There goes New York. There goes Washington, D.C. There goes Houston, Texas. There goes Los Angeles. It's done. North America is a radioactive wasteland.
Well, and here's something that really is critical in what we're talking about today, Mike. And that's the fact that if you've got a 90-second window to launch, which Russia does, and you compare it and contrast it to 5 to 7 minutes of the U.S., Western NATO, all the sign-offs, all the codes, all of that crap, Russia can say, okay, we'll give them a minute, we'll give them 2 minutes, and then take them out in the air, they're our nukes, and then take out every single air base. And I'm told this is part of the plan. They've made it clear, every single air base in Western Europe capable of, you know, basically landing and supplying and supporting and refueling aircraft, they take them all out at once. And they have the numeric capability. How long will people put up with the lying narrative, well, Russia's running out of missiles? No, they're not. They're on a 24/7 war footing, and they have been for the last 9 years. So, you know, they don't run out of weapons. The thing that's astonishing to me is the only thing that the lunatic West has run out of is critical thinking. And if I were a Russian, and I'm not a Russian agent, the bottom line is, and I saw NATO talking about, and this was open source information, dividing up my country into 41 separate member states, and everybody that joins in the, let's say, cluster attack against Moscow. I mean, imagine that. Imagine we were facing everybody sitting off our borders, which we will be when the Chinese are in Cuba and Panama's Michael Yon says and everything. Yeah. And the thing is that we're now in Crazyville, okay? But Crazyville has a cost to live there, and that's the thermal nuclear annihilation of the West.
Now, but let me
go ahead.
Well, I want to bring you back to the question earlier, which you haven't really answered this yet. You know, pardon me for being so blunt, but I want you to talk about what happens domestically when the first nuke hits America. So, I mean, tell us what's going to happen. You know, to banks, to the price of gold, to the grocery stores, to transportation, to people, to cities. What's that going to look like?
Within minutes, the country will go into an extended panic. The extended panic will clear out what's ever available in gas stations, and people will want to fill up to drive their car, and they won't be able to drive their car because there's no place to drive their car to. Their food will disappear in a heartbeat. Already, we're seeing reports of military equipment being dispersed throughout the whole country. And the thing that, again, that people have got to understand is containment of the major cities. So you're going to have panic. You're going to have mayhem. You're going to have Mad Max on steroids. And this is what the military is going to have to do. They're going to have to cordon off, for instance, L.A. And it doesn't matter if it's L.A. proper or it goes out to the San Bernardino Mountains. How far? I'm just telling you this, that Jamie Walden made the statement. He said, Steve, we practice for shutting down. He's Marine. He said, we practice shutting down cities of 20 million people. And we could do it in, I think he said, less than an hour. And he may have said 20 minutes. Jamie, I may be misquoting you, but in under an hour, the military can stop off ramps, on ramps, and they can bring a halt to everything, Mike. And then it's Mad Max when each man does that which is right in his own sight. Now, what are we going to deal with? We're going to deal with gangs that already know this stuff. We're going to deal with foreign invasionary forces that are already positioned this. And they have supply, they have food, they have ammo. And then it's going to be, and I'm sorry to say this, and I hate to say it, but it's going to be the ultimate bloodbath. Because when people panic, the people that have anticipated the panic, and I'm talking about foreign military soldiers in our country, whether it's Chinese, whether it's Iranian, whether it's the cartel, whoever, they know exactly what their goals are. And we've seen, kudos to Hal Turner, posting the picture on the Mexican border of all the, you know, the armor, and not only the armor, but all of the, you know, military equipment. So where is that all coming from? So I hope I'm answering. You're going to see the minute that happens in the United States, you're going to see panic like you've never seen it before. And so, I'm telling you, it's going to manifest itself. And this is why the golden rule of survival, and I want everyone to hear me, you want to be where everyone else isn't at that moment. You don't want
exactly.
to be... That's where that look, you've spent your whole life on your business and you know, your broadcasting, podcasting, all the productions that you've done. I've spent my life, everything, telling people, trying to get people ready for this moment. And this moment was always put off, but now it's here. So I hope I'm being specific.
You are, yeah,
mayhem,
but
mayhem unimaginable.
Let me add, yeah, there you go. There's the quote for it, mayhem unimaginable, but. The most likely scenario that you're describing then is after a nuke strikes the United States, the military deploys domestically to try to quell the panic slash uprising in the cities. And they block off the cities, which would essentially, I guess, trap people in the cities. Otherwise, you would have a mass exodus coming out of the cities going, I guess, sweeping across all rural areas. But the cities would become unmanageable. The police would be powerless at that point, especially in a lot of these cities like LA or Seattle. And so doesn't that just look like a, you know, Kurt Russell escape from LA scenario at that point?
Perfect. And I was just going to say the best example is Kurt Russell, one of my favorite actors, by the way, and escape from LA and escape from New York. And ladies and gentlemen, the plan is, and Mike, you touched on it, The plan is to stop millions of people who they can contain in the cities and to basically imprison them, because it's easier to control that population than trying to go out and get every straggler. And this is why, you know, people have got to understand something. There are field manuals. I used to know the names of all of them. I don't anymore. But field manuals for the very thing we're talking about, operational plans, because this is, and Mike, for the first time again, I heard the term coming from, let's just say this, the people that came up with zombie protocol. I'm not saying there's going to be a bunch of flesh-eating zombies, but I am saying this, that in that mindset, anybody other than the controlling powers that be are considered zombies, okay? So it's all going to be about containing and basically, sorry to say this, but containment and destruction of those populations that will represent a threat to the authorities at that point. Am I being clear?
Yeah, you absolutely are. And I think you don't even have to say it, but of course, gun confiscation would be part of this. Bank bail-ins would be part of this. Food rationing would be part of it.
Let's just talk about the gun collection.
Okay.
The only thing that stands between them and you, everybody's listening to this podcast, is your ability under the Second Amendment to protect your family. I've said it over and over, and I got to emphasize it even more. The only thing that stands, and I believe in the active intervention of prayer. I believe in the active intervention of identifying evil. But I also believe in, and my dear friend Greg Evenson, who's passed away, a wonderful man, famous state trooper, but he always had his 45 in his right hand, and he was a 45 guy, ACP, and his Bible in the left hand. And that so made an impression on my life, just like one of your statements, that in essence, we're dealing now, ladies and gentlemen, they want to take our guns to kill us. The old argument, oh, they're going to come and get the guns. No, they're coming to kill the gun owners. It can't get any plainer than the vice president's statement. They got to do away with 120 million people. Well, that should infuriate 120 million people.
But isn't it?
Go ahead.
Well, Steve, you know, sorry to interrupt, but isn't it likely that once Russia nukes the United States, that China would activate its operatives that are already pre-positioned in the U.S.? And so we would not only, we the people would be facing probably the military deployed against us, Russia nuking us, and China sabotaging all the infrastructure domestically and running around trying to kill, you know, mayors, senators, police chiefs, you know, anybody they could kill who's in a position of authority in the United States to try to cause mass chaos. I mean, we'd be fighting a three-front war domestically in the U.S. at that point, it seems.
Well, yeah, and the question is, and that's a very good question, because according, and I stand by the source of this, there's 500,000 Chinese pre-positioned military aged and trained men in the United States right now with their phones.
Okay. Right. And once they're activated, then that's a whole nother war.
It's a whole nother war. And Mike, remember, we have their statements. We have the white papers from the Chinese that said they have no qualms killing every man, woman, and child in the United States.
Right.
And that's a statement. No one can argue with that. That's their white papers. And they said, look, we have 1.3 billion at that point, the statement was made, and we can lose 300 million people, and we got 1 billion left. You guys have, you know, 300 billion, and we can take you all out. And they've made this clear. They have no moral restraint to killing every man, woman, and child. I would think that would be motivation not to give up your guns. And then again, ladies and gentlemen, guns without training, let's call them firearms without training, and the determined that no one's going to get to my family, my loved ones, my kids. And in the book of Nehemiah, in the Old Testament, Nehemiah, you know, said, fight for your families, fight for your little ones. And that was to a nation at that point that had been conquered. And so what we have to recognize is this. No one, and I say this, no one outside of the living God and the people that share your commitment to keeping one another alive are going to be trustworthy. And what's going to be happening, it's going to be beyond, I don't even know a correct term, maybe you can come up with one, but it's going to be the ultimate paranoia that's going to be driving everything. And, you know, I again, Mike, it's a three-front, actually it's a four-front war, because thrown into this is we're going to have to be dealing with demons. I'm talking literal evil spirits. We're going to be dealing with people that want to do nothing but wreck mayhem. Even I saw a Target shirt and a sweatshirt, and it showed a guillotine, and it showed, it said homophobe headrest. Did you see that?
No, I saw a reference to it, but I haven't seen the shirt myself.
But anyway, so what, ladies and gentlemen, here is the thing. The rest of the world doesn't want anything to do with the vomitous, the hideous, the projection, and that's what our State Department has, of awokeness, of brokenness. And when I say brokenness, the nation is watching, the nations of the world are watching what's happening to the U.S. military. The nations of the world are watching what's happening to the U.S. government. And you know, Mike, one of the questions that's asked, I have a friend, and basically his wife is Russian, beautiful, beautiful woman. I talk to her. I mean, you know, we talk in English, of course. And I asked him to ask his wife, what's the attitude? She's in Moscow right now. And do you know the average attitude in Moscow, according, and this lady's lovely, and she's not a warrior, but what are we, the Russians, waiting for? They know that the United States is going to initiate they're going to try and initiate an attack on Russia proper by swarming. Swarming means they're going to throw aircraft, drones, everything at once. But what America doesn't understand, and the military better understand this, not a threat, just an encouragement, you guys don't have electronic warfare dominance. Russia does. And let me give you an example of that. Can I just give that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. But we got to wrap up this segment after that.
Yeah, because in electronic warfare dominance, we're watching, look at the tornadoes and the devastation of weather. I talked to Gary Haven just 2 hours ago before broadcasting and recording this show, and he's a high-time pilot. I mean, he's been flying for 40 years, you know, 15, 20,000 hours. But he said, Steve, in all my years of flying, I've never seen thunderheads at 70,000 feet. And he said, then stacked up one right after another. Well, that doesn't happen in nature. That happens in weather modification. So I'll close this part of the segment out by saying this. You're going to see instantaneous extreme weather like you've never seen it before in history. Forget the hurricane system, season. You're going to see landicanes, okay? You're going to see absolute horrific hailstorms. It's going to be spontaneously generated by the massive upper atmospheric control of weatherized weapons and weather warfare. And Mike, it's going to be, pun intended, I don't mean to sound corny, but it's going to be devastating beyond description.
Well, I want to talk about that in our next segment, so just stand by. But folks, first, let me give credit to our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com, because this is what you need to be prepared for cell towers to fail, for the power grid to fail. There's a reason why 50 U.S. senators now have these types of phones, probably these exact models right here, because they know what's coming and they need to be able to communicate. You can also have two-way text messaging with this. There's a bivy stick here. And then these are solar panels with a charging station. It's basically a solar generator, so you have off-grid electricity. They have larger kits available, 40% off. You can power, you know, even freezers and blenders, and you can charge electronic devices. And they've got large units, small units, and so on. Check it all out at SAT123.com. That's the Satellite Phone Store that's sponsoring this segment. Steve, anything you want to mention about the sat phones? So you use them too.
You need to understand, Mike, you and I have warned people that they sell out of them. Right now, they're out of the Inmarsat phones, but they do have the Iridium phones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's really important because I think they have about 1,000 of them. And what's happened, ladies and gentlemen, the communication cables, the fiber optic deep sea ocean cables have been cut between the West Coast and Southeast Asia. That doesn't mean all communications are down, but what's going to happen when this thing takes place, the EMP, whether it's an air burst, electromagnetic pulse, there are different ways to, enforce or supercharge the electromagnetic pulse. That's a better word. And so I want people to understand you need to go to BeReady123.com, BeReady123.com, because the power banks, and we've done shows on those, this stuff sells out fast. And so somebody says, well, if it's the end of the world, why is that important? Because everybody goes nuts in the dark. And that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody goes nuts in the dark.
Okay, BeReady123.com. I've got that up. Yeah, and look, but my position is, Steve, they're not going to kill all of us, but they are going to kill those who are not prepared. That's the thing. If you're easy to kill, what the globalists have planned and World War III is going to take you out. If you're hard to kill, if you're resilient, if you've got backup food and medical supplies, emergency communications, off-grid sources of electricity, you know, water supply, all these things, you can make it through this. I'm not saying it's going to be a pretty world, but you don't have to die. That's the whole point.
And failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And again, I, Mike, this is critical. If you think this statement through, and I know we got to close it out, the segment, but you want to be where everyone else isn't. If everyone's going to the last ditch store, Piggly Wiggly, or whatever grocery store, Aldi's, whatever, Safeway, Best Way, No Way, and pretty soon all out of the way. You know, you don't want to be there, but be there now. And again, understand, ladies and gentlemen, when the official ration cards come, it's on a per calorie per person day, and that it's, Mike, it's sub 1,500 calories.
Oh, boy, that, there's a weight loss program for America.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment, Steve. So stand by. We're going to talk about famine, rationing, and the CBDCs that you'll be required to sign up for in order to get your food credits so that you don't starve to death. They're going to try to ensnare you in the Mark of the Beast system. So, Steve, stand by. We'll do the next segment. I just want to give everybody, again, your website, stevequayle.com. And Steve Quayle is our guest. Check out his website and all his headlines here that he's posting daily about breaking news and much more. And feel free to repost this interview on other platforms and channels as well. I'm Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com, joined by Steve Quayle. One more segment coming up. Thanks for joining us today. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. And being that it's much hotter weather right now, you might be sweating more, which is good for you. It's good to sweat. You release toxins, but you also lose electrolytes, you know, trace minerals. And so we have a number of solutions for you at HealthRangerStore.com. We've got electrolytes in two different formats. I've got them on my desk here, the larger bottles, and then the smaller 2-ounce dropper bottles. And you can put these in smoothies or water, and it will enhance your trace mineral consumption and electrolyte consumption. If you go to our website, healthrangerstore.com, you'll see what we have, much larger selection here. You can get them in volume. And all of these are, of course, lab tested. So we do the testing for lead, arsenic, mercury, cadmium, as well as glyphosate and other substances, bacteria, E. coli, salmonella, all of that. So you can rest assured that these are safe supplements when used as directed, and they're not going to be subjected to harsh toxic solvents or contaminants, because that's not what this is about. This is about healthy, clean food and clean nutritional supplements. So check out your electrolyte supply. It's got what plants crave, and it's also good for people. It's at healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.